Mediocrity Podcast. Talks about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Bigger's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And this is Mediocrity. Yes, we are Mediocrity, just like this theme song says we are. Where the show is just okay, part of the Multimedia Men podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Go to iTunes and click that subscribe button. It's such a beautiful subscribe button. We would love you if you do and rate and review us. Under the Multimedia Men podcast, you'll get all of Mediocrity there. I'm Brian Kluger, and I'm joined by... His hair is so well coiffed today. Jonathan Atterbury, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, man?
I'm doing very well, man. What's going on over in your neck of the woods over on the west side?
Oh, just keeping it fresh out here on the west side, you know?
Okay. Fresh smelling. All right.
Keeping it fresh. I mean, I've been working on the book. I've been, you know, did the whole Memorial Weekend thing with the family, so it was a good time.
Did you eat a lot of meat in your mouth?
I ate a reasonable amount of meat. I wouldn't say it was disproportionate to the rest of the stuff I ate, but it was considerable.
He ate the perfect amount of meat.
I ate and maintained the perfect amount of meat.
How does one eat the perfect amount of meat in their mouth?
I think if you have to ask, you don't know.
Alrighty then.
You have to be told, you're never going to get it.
I've never gotten it. I just like it all in my mouth. White meat, dark meat, I don't care. I love it.
Well, just getting fully off the rails. We're like 3 minutes in and already people are turning us off.
No, they're loving it. I hope so. Join us as always as well, Jeremy Magert. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Doing very well. How was your holiday weekend? Did you get some of that glorious meat too?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really do anything. Just kind of hung out, so.
All right. Do you watch anything good?
Let's see. Over the weekend, I watched Silicon Valley and American Gods.
Nice. We'll get to that.
And those are both epic.
Yes. I love Silicon Valley. I have not watched American Gods yet, but I will soon. We could all have a glorious conversation about it. But we have a great show today for you this week. We're going to talk about tons of stuff, including Wonder Woman, which Jeremy and I watched together, holding hand in hand. It was very nice. But before we get to Wonder Woman, a couple movies that came out last week, summer movies, Pirates 5, Dead Men Tell No Tales, as well as The Rock, which is a big... hopefully he's a big supporter of this podcast, Mediocrity, on iTunes.
it's his favorite podcast.
We talk about him a lot, but he stars in Baywatch movie. I'm going to go – who saw Pirates?
That would be me.
Okay.
No, Pirates. I'm sorry. That was Jeremy. I'm not listening.
My God.
John just wants to talk. Just do Baywatch first.
We're going to do Pirates first. Okay, so Pirates 5, these movies – in my opinion, are terrible, but they make $1 billion each, and they're making more, and my personal opinion, I don't like them. However, Pirates 5 is supposedly the last one. Jeremy, you saw Pirates 5. How was it, and how was Paul McCartney?
Pirates 5 was disappointing. I've seen probably all of the fourth one in like bits and pieces if it was on TV or something. But I actually enjoyed the first three movies. I think they're fun. You know, they have a unique look and they're pretty well designed. So I can always dig them from kind of that end. But man, the fifth one was a pretty hard letdown for me.
So coming to an end, you just didn't think I. What I've heard was that it was visually pleasing. The action scenes were fun to look at. Other than that, there was nothing. And that I heard that in the first 20 minutes, they tried to put in like 100 storylines.
Well, it's the effects to me are not as good as they were like in the third one, for example.
Okay.
The third one, to me was the best looking one. This one had the weakest story. You know, a great example to me of kind of missing the marks, when you watch the first three movies, if I remember correctly, the dude that like kind of did a lot of the sword fighting stuff in terms of like instruction and choreography was the guy that did the sword fighting in like the original Star Wars trilogy. He did stuff for Lord of the Rings. He did a ton of movies where there's sword fighting. And in the first three movies, there's a ton of really just awesome swashbuckling action. And there's not a single legit sword fight in this movie.
Well, I mean, with pirates, you kind of want swashbuckling and swords.
Yeah.
And you got nothing. That's like going to Waffle House and not having waffles.
Yeah, there's really no that's
hey,
exactly
man, the best thing
exactly
at Waffle
correct.
House is the biscuits. Let's be real.
Well, I'm sorry.
Sean's correct about that.
Yeah, he is. Well, I'm sorry, Jeremy, that it didn't.
Biscuits and gravy.
Well, I'm sorry that it didn't. That Pirates 5 didn't live up. I don't think it lived up to a lot of people's expectations. But you know what? This is not the last time we'll see Pirates. Even though they kind of ended it, they're going to remake it. That's how it's going to happen because they make so much money.
They have to, unfortunately.
Okay, so moving on to Jonathan, are you paying attention?
Yeah, you said my name. I'm listening now.
Okay. Baywatch. Baywatch is out there right now, and it is a rated R summer movie. And what I've heard from it is that it is it's a bunch of glorious, good-looking people in basically a Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill movie where it's very vulgar and funny with gorgeous people. Is that true?
Half of it is.
Half of it is. Okay, talk to me.
There are – so I'm having a stroke. Hold on.
He's getting too excited. Oh, my God.
There's too much to say.
His brain can't function what he's about to say about a movie that The Rock is in.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So as everyone knows, we love The Rock, the Mr. Dwayne Johnson. We are big fans. And that's why I went to see the movie, because I pretty much will go see anything that he's in. But this one was disappointing, I got to say. It was a serious disappointment because I'll admit I was expecting it to be stupid. I was not coming into the movie expecting it to be a brilliant, art movie or anything like that. And that's why I kind of ignored the reviews that we were seeing on Rotten Tomatoes and stuff like that. I was like, I just think these people had set their hopes too high for what the movie was going to be. But it was pretty abysmal. I mean, they're...
What?
Yeah, I did not like it. I walked out of that going, Jesus Christ, that was, 2 hours of my life I'm not getting back. But the movie is certainly chock full of gorgeous people. Everyone in that movie, except for one of the guys, I don't really know the actor's name, they're all like ridiculously good looking people and in awesome shape. However, even though all of the main characters had really good charisma, the actors were delivering their lines well, and they had fantastic on-screen presence, like all of them. They just were handed the most ridiculously terrible script ever, I think. Because the jokes weren't funny. It wasn't like stupid funny like a movie like Neighbors or your typical, like Seth Rogen film, even Pineapple Express, something like that. It was just not funny. It was all the stupid of Pineapple Express without any of the funny.
So the trailer made me laugh and looked really funny, but is it maybe a result of maybe hearing those jokes in 10 other Seth Rogen movies, basically, and just hearing them rehashed by The Rock and Daddario and Zac Efron?
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple scenes where you might be like, But that's about the amount of laughter that that movie will get out of you, I think, for most people, unless you're a 12-year-old. If you were a 12-year-old boy or a 13-year-old boy, I think that, yeah, you'd probably laugh at it. But it's so juvenile that it even was too juvenile for my taste.
So that's me, though. I feel like I like that type of humor.
I don't think you're going to find it that funny because it's just really not that funny. The jokes are really bad and – I mean, I'll tell you right now. So this isn't exactly a fucking spoiler because I don't think you could spoil anything about that movie because the plot is paper thin, which is fine. We're not expecting a really complex plot out of Baywatch. But there's a scene in the movie where one of the lifeguards falls and gets his cock and balls stuck in the wood slat of a chair. and there's like a 5-minute scene about them having to extract his dick from this chair. And it was just, you could tell that they were really proud of the scene and how funny they thought it was, but it was just the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
That sounds hilarious. I'm laughing at you describing that scene.
Well, I think that the actual scene would probably be more of a letdown.
Okay. Well, damn.
I mean, just the way it was, it was just absolutely ridiculous. So I was not a fan of the movie. Like I said, I think that The Rock and, you know, like, what's her name? Alessandra Di Daddario?
Alessandra Di Daddario, yeah.
Yeah, and Kelly Rohrbach, Zac Efron, they all were really charismatic, and you couldn't help but like all of them in the characters they were playing. I think the characters that were brought were awesome. It was just that the script and the jokes were not funny.
All right. Well, if you don't know who Alessandra Di Daddario is, you should go look up the TV series. Oh, my God. What is it on HBO?
True Detective.
True Detective, season one. Particularly, there's an episode with her and Woody Harrelson, which is just all sorts of amazing.
There's no doubt that she and Kelly Rohrbach are outrageously beautiful women.
Yes.
And same thing for Zac Efron. God damn. I mean, Zac Efron was so shredded in this movie, it was ridiculous. He was like on stage bodybuilder kind of lean. You could see every muscle in his body, and it was crazy.
He almost seems two-toned for his like body shape or body height or whatever. Like,
he's not a big guy, but I mean, it looks super impressive.
Okay.
It's just kind of outrageous. But of course, next to The Rock, he looks like a tiny, tiny, tiny little person.
Yeah. If you're going to be shirtless in a movie next to The Rock, who is also going to be shirtless, you pretty much better be shredded.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty much the only route he had because he was never going to be as big. So he just was like, all right, I'm just going to get diced. And it's true. If you look next to, you put him next to The Rock, he's like Bruce Lee shredded. And The Rock isn't. So in a way, you know, he was able to go toe to toe, which was very impressive. But The Rock just, you know, is a mountain of a man.
So speaking of Baywatch and your glorious review of it just now, as well as many others, The Rock actually took to social media, which made me do, you know, like the forehead slap and be like, really, Rock, really? You're one of these actors who calls out critics and calls them stupid? Really? Really? Because he did that. And I can't believe he did that. And
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he went on like, it was like 5 or 6 Twitter posts where he, you know, he went on a diatribe on like, the critics are wrong, the fans are right, or whatever. And I was just kind of like, what? What are you talking about? It's like, so a lot of filmmakers and actors have done this in the past, and they all get trash for it. And they deserve to be trash for that because, I mean, they love us when we give good praise and they hate us when we don't. But I was like, just make better movies. Like you said, this could have been a better movie.
Maybe they just think you're wrong.
So could have been a better movie. I went into the movie wanting it to be good. Nobody wanted that movie to be good more than me. But it just wasn't. It just didn't deliver. Well, it was a big bummer.
Well, when Jeremy says maybe I'm just wrong, but I think if you go to Rotten Tomatoes on Baywatch, what is that percentage of it right there? What is the Rotten Tomato percentage of critics online? It's like very low.
I know what Jeremy's about to say. I know what is about to come out of his mouth.
What did he say?
Go ahead, John. I'll let you.
I think he was going to say something about Ghost Protocol.
That would be correct. You want to validate that? Go look at the fucking Rotten Tomatoes score for Ghost Protocol. Protocol and then tell me that it's always fucking right, because we went to see Ghost Protocol because it had like a 92 or a 96 and that movie fucking sucked.
He's angry about that
the
movie.
The Mummy will be better than Ghost Protocol.
We're not sure about that yet.
And it will be the same movie, just with a monster.
So we're getting
and
off,
it will automatically be better.
We're getting off the rails here. I liked Ghost Protocol, but I knew it was just a dumb fucking Mission Impossible movie. Just like Rogue Nation.
A 90, whatever percent it was.
So, but I mean, with Baywatch, I mean, I feel like I would have given Baywatch a good review just because it just seems that much fun, but I haven't seen it yet, so I can't judge. But it's funny that The Rock actually called out critics. It was real. I couldn't believe it.
I think one of my big pet peeves about the movie is that it was rated R, and I feel like they absolutely did not take advantage of it being an R-rated movie.
Oh my God, the trailers totally looked very hard R.
The only thing is that they dropped the F-bomb a lot of times.
Okay.
And but that was it. Well, and there was a dick in one scene. There was a dick from a dead guy.
Dead dick.
Yeah, that was literally the only thing that made the movie R. I mean, if I think that they should have had some over the top or like ridiculously funny gore in there, and that would have made it way better, because there were lots of scenes when people were getting killed and stuff like that, but really, there was only one scene that had some gore, and it was funny. The gore that they did put in there made it funny, and I would have rather seen them do a lot more of that. But, I mean, how are you going to make an R-rated Baywatch movie and not have any boobs in it? It's just ridiculous.
Who knows? I mean, if the Dario's doing nude
scenes, there was no actual nudity in the movie?
There was just one dick, which I don't care. You can show a dick in a movie. It doesn't bother me. But, there should be boobs in it, too. Let's be real.
I just assumed there was going to be.
Especially, I did too.
Especially the Dario's. Good God.
Good God.
Good God.
But yeah, there was just not – I feel like it was a PG – I felt like I was watching a director's cut of a PG-13 movie, if that makes any sense, where they're just kind of like a few jokes thrown in there that are extra dirty, but they would have been fine without them.
Okay. So
– that's what it feels like. It was a PG-13 movie originally.
So here on Mediocrity, which you can find on iTunes, basically what we're saying is don't go see these two movies. Don't go see Baywatch and don't go see Pirates 5. Am I wrong?
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
But no, that's exactly what we're saying. I think that's a solid, solid tip.
So instead, with your hard-earned money, we're going to talk about another movie that Jeremy and I just saw. And before we get into that, we're, of course, talking about Wonder Woman. Mr. Atterbury, he has been jarred. He has been let down by the DC cinematic universe as of recently.
Like, I'm the only fucking one. Like me, and not you guys and the rest of the country.
But wait. I believe on this very podcast you have said that you are done with the DC cinematic universe.
I said that I will not go see them in the theater unless it gets a glowing review from you two.
Okay. So there's that. So, Jeremy, what do we have to say about Wonder Woman to Mr. Atterbury here?
We just have to tell him it's good. We had this discussion via text last night. I was like, it's really good.
And I was like,
and he's like, cool. Yeah. And I was like, yep. And he's like, cool, I'll go see it.
Wow. Men of many words here.
Yep. Well, when you're as close as Jeremy and I are, the rest is just kind of known.
Okay. All right.
It's felt.
It's So Wonder Woman is out. We went to see it last night. It comes out Friday. Yeah, it comes out Friday. And I believe Jeremy and I talked all about it all the way to the theater together, and we were both nervous. We both hoped for the best, but we were both, I think, kind of like, please don't let us down again. And I think, at least for me, in the first 10 to 15 minutes of the movie, I was like, I thought to myself, damn, this is good. This is going to be a good film. And to me, it was. Damn good movie. damn good movie. I think you, Mr. Atterbury, are going to enjoy it.
I believe it. After hearing the review from both of you guys, I'm going to go see it for sure.
So, Jeremy, what did you like about it? And if there was anything you didn't like about it, tell us.
You know, DC loves to tell the Wonder Woman origin story in the comic books. They tell the Wonder Woman origin story in the comic books pretty much as they tell the Batman origin story in the movies, which is fucking constantly. So the nice thing about this movie, it is very good adaptation of the comic source material. There's not really any creative kind of liberty taken from the filmmakers. Like, they pretty much, you know, very respectfully stuck to it. And that was one thing that I dug. You know, with it being a Wonder Woman movie, you know, I mean, there's one of the best compliments that I feel like that I can give that's not really a spoiler is, if you're familiar with Wonder Woman, nothing in the movie happens to where you're going to be like, oh, wow, I totally wasn't expecting that. But there wasn't really anything I didn't enjoy. You know, it's like when she's like out in the world talking to people, and then some dudes find out that all of a sudden there's this island full of like beautiful Amazon women, and there's not a single dude there. It's like, you know, they make that joke, and it's like, you know, that joke is coming at some point. But even when they make it, it's like, it's still really enjoyable, you know, and it was done well and it was super funny. And to me, I feel like that's one of the kind of best compliments for the movie without getting super spoilery about stuff that happens.
So you mean that it was all fairly expected, but even though it was expected, it was delivered in an enjoyable way.
Oh yes, so enjoyable, so much fun.
Got it.
Well, good.
Now, I've heard something about a No Man's Land scene and how that was just like super rad. Was that true?
That was fucking epic.
That's maybe one of the best scenes in the movie. When you're talking about action and
got
fighting,
it.
Like it was, and it was emotional too. Like,
it was super emotional.
Oh. It was what they did. So Patty Jenkins, the director of this, she hadn't directed anything, or at least feature film wise, since 2003, when she directed Charlize Theron and Christina Ricci in Monster, about the true life serial killer Eileen Wuornos. So I don't know how this happened, how she got to be part of this without doing something in that long of a period. But man, she killed it. And there was no. And you've said this before, Atterbury, that you did not think Gal Gadot had like the physical presence of Wonder Woman, right?
I said I don't think she's got the physique of Wonder
Woman.
That's
right, yes. Okay. So there was not one single moment in this film where she did not own every part of Wonder Woman as well as Diana Prince. Do you agree with that, Jeremy?
Yeah.
She was she
owned it. I feel like I was looking at Wonder Woman the whole way through.
Yeah,
she's got the same build that you saw her in with BBS, so in that regard, John's criticism, you know, may not change.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
But she's still epic.
Well, in BBS, Batman vs. Superman, she's only on screen for a couple minutes. You know, here she is the focal point, and
I don't have a problem with anything except for the fact that I feel like she needs an additional 10 pounds of muscle on her.
Okay.
Then I'd be like totally on board.
No, I think you'll be on board. Seriously, I think you will be. And Chris Pine is excellent in the film. I really loved it. I mean, I talked to Jeremy afterwards. And I was like, yeah, there's some emotional bits to that. And like, they really sold it. So I had a couple gripes about the movie.
Do tell.
The movie is 141 minutes long. It felt about 90 minutes long because it is very well paced and great. However, the last 15 minutes of the movie, during the final climactic battle, of course, is very, it nosedives for me for various reasons. It really feels like Patty Jenkins left her directorial chair and Zack Snyder came aboard and did almost the same battle scene from Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, no.
It doesn't kill the movie by any means. Jeremy might disagree with me, but I definitely felt that.
I don't 100% disagree. There are some of the fight style elements from BVS, but for me, the stuff that makes the BVS fight scene bad is that when, you know, people are getting thrown and smashed into stuff, all they're getting thrown and smashed into is like the ground and rocks, and it's making piles of like that, like digital, like particle-y dirt that is really popular in movies. You know, or somebody gets thrown and then it's a cut scene to like them landing, or they jump and then it's like it's super sped up and then a cut scene to where they're going, which in this movie, they do those things, but frequently, like if you see her get thrown, you actually see like where she gets thrown from and then where she gets thrown to. So it's not as much like the jerky sped up fight scenes. I mean, even though things are moving fast and things are getting smashed and blown up, but it's still done with a higher degree of storytelling than what was done in BVS.
I would agree with that. It still came across very cheesy to me, and I was like, oh, why? What happened here? And I feel like that's because Zack Snyder is a producer on the movie. I feel like he had a heavy hand in that. And the other thing I had a problem with was, and it's a small gripe, a lot of the fight scenes, or pretty much all every fight scene, is that famous Zack Snyder 300 slow motion to fast motion stuff. And in really weird parts. I mean, I think it works when key moments happen, when she discovers her weapons. But other than that, it happens way too much. It just takes me out of the film, and that's personally for me. Like, it's a cool shot here and there, but when you do it every time, it's just redundant and annoying to me.
See, I actually dug it. I dug it because there were tons of moments where you got to see slow motion Wonder Woman badass ass kicking. And it was very obviously, you know, Gal Gadot doing the action. It wasn't like where it's super slow motion stunt double from the back. It's like her, you know, sliding down, you know, kind of coming directly at the camera. You can see her face. There's no fucking digital, you know, bullshit of putting her face on someone else's body. And, you know, I would rather have that than, like, say, the action that you get in Transformers movies where it's digital shit that's happening so fast, you can't really see kind of what's going on, you know, and it's intentionally fast to the fact that it doesn't look good. The thing I can dig about them doing this in the Wonder Woman movie is that if you're going to slow it down, like it, you can't slow it down and have something look like crap because it's going to be super obvious on a, you know, on
right.
a screen.
Yeah. So, but other than those two things, the movie's damn good, and it doesn't ruin any of it. So with that being said, Mr. Atterbury, what do you think?
I'll totally go see it. I have 100% plans on going to see that movie.
I'm secretly hope that you hate it so we can do like a talk about it. Because if you love it like us, if you really liked it like us, we wouldn't have much to talk about other than like, yeah, I really liked it. I agree with you guys. However, if you really hated it, we'd have a really good discussion.
I will save the two things that I didn't care for until he's seen it.
Okay. All right. To see if y'all have the same ideas about it.
No, just because one of the things that that I didn't like tied into the ending, so.
Okay. All right.
Well, secretly, I hope I hate it, too.
Secretly, I hope I hate it too. But yeah, no, it's a good movie. And I like, you know, we were talking about this after the film. I was like, man, what if they actually started with this film? Because this film does take place in a fictionalized World War II era, and that's before Superman and Batman are around. So I wonder why they didn't start with this. Because, I mean, shit, if they started with this in the DC universe, I think everybody would be so pumped up for everything else. But maybe that's a good thing. Maybe because if that was the only good one and we got two really shitty movies after that, I don't know.
You could use this as a style reboot, honestly.
You
could go forward with this and then, I mean, it's hard to say what Justice League is going to be like, but it looks like it's less serious than what BVS is. You know, but I mean, you could go forward. You could make an awesome Superman movie after this. You could make, you know, a fun Batman movie. I mean, you can do whatever you want.
That's what they... Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you guys feel like we need a new Superman, or do you feel like you want to see Cavill continue the role?
Oh, Cavill.
We talked about
this
last night, actually.
Yes, we did. Cavill is awesome. I like Cavill. I just hate that Snyder and the writers have given him such a dark, brooding Superman character, and they haven't let him be Superman yet, because in Man of Steel, he wasn't Superman. They don't refer to him as Superman in the movie. He's just an alien trying to figure it out, and in Batman vs. Superman, he's not really...
You should rewatch Man of Steel. They call him Superman.
Not once in the movie do they call him Superman.
Yes, they do. The soldiers call him Superman.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
They do. Watch the fucking movie.
They don't refer to him as Superman.
Yeah, they do.
All right, I'll have to watch this.
The soldiers call him Superman.
I'm going to have to watch this again.
In Smallville. I highly recommend you watch the movie.
I will try to watch the movie again, because I liked Man of Steel a lot. But Batman vs. Superman, it's just, he's not given anything. He's just fighting Bruce Wayne, and that's it. He's not being Superman in the movie. Neither was he really in Man of Steel. So if we get an actual Superman movie, hopefully he's not the dark idiot that he seems to be now. And I think Cavill just is perfect for it.
I agree. I like Cavill as Superman. I just don't like the shit that he's been given to work with. I think Man of Steel was awesome, except for this, like, in the first half. I love the first half of Man of Steel, and then it went off the rails for me.
Okay. That's understandable.
Mainly the ending battle scene was just full retard.
It was, just because, like, why are we destroying everything? I get that he killed Zod at the end of the movie, because, I mean, again, he wasn't supposed to be the Superman we all know. Although, if they killed him, which sucks, because he was, like, an awesome bad guy, they should have kept him around.
See, I don't have a problem with the destruction. You know, it's like, if you watch any Justice, like, everybody loves the Justice League animated series, because it's great. But cities and buildings get blown up in that fucking cartoon from beginning to end in, like, every episode. And even in the comics, you know, that's part of, like, what makes it fun is, like, watching Superman fucking punch somebody and watch them fly out the other side of a building. It's like, for some reason, everybody just, in regards to the Man of Steel movie, like, in all the other areas in which they do that, no one complains about it. But in Man of Steel, for some reason, everybody can't handle the fucking destruction.
It's not the destruction that bothered me. It was the execution of the destruction. It was the Zack Snyder-y, boring bullshit aspect of it. It's because there was all this destruction, yet it felt totally boring the whole time. And if you're watching two gods basically destroy a city, it should be exciting and not just something you're like, eh, when is this going to be over?
No.
Whereas that's how it felt for me.
Yeah. I will agree with that. But yeah, Henry Cavill's good, and I'm glad with Ben Affleck. I just want them to put the comic back in the comic book movies, you know? Because with Wonder Woman, it made us laugh quite a bit. They had great characters. They weren't all everything sucks, you know, emo style. So
yeah, it was a fun superhero movie, and you know, you got to watch her character become a superhero, and her character, and you know, enjoyed becoming a superhero.
Indeed. So yeah, that's our Wonder Woman review. We hope that Mr. and Mrs. Atterbury get out to see it, and they can tell us their thoughts. And we secretly hope he hates it, because that will just be a great conversation for this mediocrity podcast.
I don't want him to hate it.
And you know what? You know what was really cool to see was I imagine the other women in our screening, but Josie's been on the podcast before. Like, just hearing that, how much she loved it and her reactions to the film while watching it is just, you know, that's what movies are all about. You know, that's the perfect thing, right, Jeremy?
It is, man. She is fired up. It's hilarious.
And it was just cool to see her afterwards and like hear what her thoughts. And actually, Josie is going to write a review for Boomstick Comics about Wonder Woman. So very excited to see her thoughts on it. And so
just
that
all capital letters, it fucking ruled.
That was basically her comment after the movie. It was great.
She's just like in full on like Amazon warrior mode right now. It's hilarious.
Let's go do squats all day.
She's just like, she kicks every door open, even when it opens inward. Doesn't matter.
That's good. Oh,
kicking doors open, smashing stuff. It's great.
Yeah, I'm happy about that. And before I went to the theater with Jeremy, did an awesome, amazing sketch of Wonder Woman that he gave me. That's going to go up on the wall framed. And it is if you see this post on Boomstick, that is his drawing up on the website. So seriously, commission him to do drawings. He's awesome at it. And thank you again.
You're welcome.
So let's move on from this movie's talk. We've got other things to talk about other than Wonder Woman and Batman versus Superman and The Rock, you know, saying fuck all the time. And Johnny Depp.
We do?
Well, I guess not. So let's move on to some TV shows that have come out recently. So we're all watching, we all love Silicon Valley, and it's very unfortunate news that TJ Miller, who plays the amazing Ehrlich Bachman, owner of Aviato, has announced that he will not be returning for the next season. They are killing him off this season.
Sad. I can't believe that. I mean, I feel like the show's not going to be any good without him.
Yeah. So he's pretty much probably one of the highlights of the show and probably the funny man of the show, because he owns the incubator that everybody works in, but he does absolutely nothing and he fails at everything.
To me, he is the show. It's not just a matter of him being a highlight. To me, that's why I watch the fucking show.
No, I like every character in that show completely. But he's going to be missed because his failed attempts to do everything. And just like his reaction with Jean Yang is just so good. But, you know, a website, I think it's Vulture, came out today with theories on how they're going to kill him off. And there's like 10 theories on like how they're going to end it. Because, I mean, he's leaving the show for good. So, like, I just don't think they can just send him on a plane. He's going to find himself. He has to die. Don't you think? Like, unless he's like, I don't know, he might come up in the final episode of the series finale at some point, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, we all love this show, but what do you think has to happen with that character this season?
Well, they could kill him off. I mean, it's such an absurd show that there's, you know, the sky is the limit. They could really do anything and it would work for the tone of that show.
Jeremy, you're a big fan of the show, right?
I am. I love that show.
So this season, what are you thinking about it so far?
I've actually enjoyed this season more than last season. I feel like the writing for Richard has been better this season. Last season, what made Richard funny in the previous seasons were that he was a really smart guy, but he was just like, it was his social awkwardness that made his character funny. But in the previous season, they just had him constantly doing, you know, just kind of stupid things, like uncharacteristically stupid for a character that's supposed to be highly intelligent. And it wasn't really about him being socially awkward. And I felt like they did it really just to kind of advance the plot, you know, throughout the movie or throughout the show for the season. But this season, they're kind of back to having him do, you know, him just kind of being socially inept, but back to being intelligent, and I like that better.
Good. Yeah, I agree. It is a damn good show.
All the Dinesh and Guilfoyle stuff has been absolutely hilarious.
Oh, their rivalry is perfect, especially in the most recent episode where their two phones became intertwined.
That was so good.
It was so perfect. And Atterbury, you haven't caught up on this new season yet, right?
Yeah, I've watched everything up until the new season.
Okay, so you're in for a ride. You're gonna love it. It's just such a – it's one of the best half hours on HBO or on television for that matter.
I agree.
And in addition to Silicon Valley, I'm going to have to mention Veep as well. Mm-hmm. Veep is so good right now. Everybody in that show, especially Jonah Ryan, if y'all haven't seen that show, he is a big thing in the show right now. And it's just great to see him tear down Congress. If y'all don't watch that, but oh well. So what about House of Cards? House of Cards, one of the first original series for Netflix, 5 years ago. And it is just, it's won awards. It's one of the, it is such a darkly comic show about the presidency. In last season, I almost want to say last season jumped the shark a little bit. But it, more or less it kind of did, but I haven't seen this season yet, but you, Jonathan, have seen the first episode, and how is it?
First episode was solid. I love that show. I've been a huge fan of that show since the beginning, and it's never let me down so far, and I was totally into the first episode of season 5 here.
So does it take place right after the events of last season, or is it time passed?
It seems like it's pretty seamlessly right after.
Okay.
All right. It's right there.
All right, so it's still great characters, great writing, great suspense and weirdness.
Absolutely. I mean, Kevin Spacey, his portrayal of Frank Underwood is one of the most menacing and I'm trying to think of the right word, but he's just a very frightening character. And it's frightening because it's so realistic. And that's one of the things I love also is watching his interviews with him talking about this kind of stuff, is he said, you know, it's almost scary how accurate of a portrayal of an American politician his Frank Underwood is.
Oh my gosh.
Because he's done a lot, he had to do a lot of research for his role in going around following politicians and stuff like that and kind of seeing what their day-to-day is like. So, and he says that this is pretty damn accurate.
Now, Jeremy, do you watch this show?
I watched the first couple seasons. I don't know if I've seen...
past that?
I think I've seen the first three for sure. How does the fourth season end? And I'll tell you if I've seen that.
The fourth season ends basically where there's a married couple and their daughter that get kidnapped by terrorists. And the president and his wife are in the situation room, and they basically have to decide how to move along with that situation. Have you seen that part?
I don't think so. The last thing I remember was Claire seeming like she's leaving him or something like that. Was that the end of season 3?
That's the end of season 3.
Okay, then I haven't seen season 4.
There's a lot that happens in season 4, which I think... Would you agree with me that it kind of jumped the shark a little bit?
How do you mean?
Well, I don't want to spoil it for Jeremy, but...
I think season 4 was really good. I liked all the stuff they did in season 4. It was interesting, and it moved the plot along in a different way than what we'd seen so far.
All right.
So it was cool.
I'll watch it either way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you said spoil it?
If you need to.
No.
For the discussion.
I don't need to. I don't want to. For people who haven't seen it. But I still like the show. I'm still going to watch. I'm very excited about it. So, all right.
Yeah, episode 1 of season 5 was a strong start.
We will, hopefully by next week or the next couple of weeks, we will all have gotten through it and we can talk all about it. But let's talk about American Gods. That's one of the biggest new shows out right now from Neil Gaiman that has been long in the making. Jeremy, how is American Gods?
It is really fucking weird and really good.
So can you tell our readers what American Gods is about if they haven't read it or seen it yet?
Man, I've watched 5 episodes and I don't even really know what it's about. probably the best way is that there's old gods and there's new gods, and they don't necessarily get along. And you're kind of following along a character named Shadow Moon, and I'm guessing he is probably some type of god, but he doesn't really know. And so he's kind of being brought into this world of gods by a character named Wednesday, who was a god, and he's an old god. And so you're kind of introduced into this world the same way that Shadow is. So you're kind of seeing the weird shit that he sees.
Okay. All right. So
I haven't seen the show yet, but I've read the book, and the book is absolutely fantastic.
All right. Yeah. And so it takes place present day, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yes.
So that's one show you do recommend.
Absolutely.
All right. All right. Good. So yeah, let's do that. And the other one we'll recommend is Master of None Season 2, which is out on Netflix right now. Aziz Ansari, even though I don't like his stand-up, his writing and creating of this show is simply genius and brilliant on every level. And Season 2 is just perfect in almost every way. There is a great episode. He did a lot of kind of like gimmicky episodes, which I all played very well. One of them is Aziz going on dates in New York, and how he filmed it was showing just one long date at the same restaurant, and then maybe going out afterwards for drinks at the bar. But every 2 minutes or so, when he puts a drink down or a waiter comes by, it's a new girl sitting right in front of him. So you get all these types of different dates that we've probably all been on. And it was so funny, and I related to that. I can't believe it. One of the dates he was on with was this girl who started talking about pro wrestling the entire time. And then she brought up Overwatch. And I was like, oh my God, this is my life.
It's me.
It's me.
Brian's like, I'm the girl in the date.
Yes, I am. But it was so perfect. I was like, it's a cool idea of like, you know, showing all of this at once. And it was really cool. But there's so many good episodes. It's almost like, it's a lot like Louie, but I think I actually like it better than Louie C.K. show. It's so much fun, and Aziz is so likable, and every character is just great in the show. If you haven't seen it, you're in for a treat with Master of None Season 2. Did y'all like Season 1?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're
loved
it. You're going to like Season 2 a lot, if you have
season
not seen
Season 2 it. Is fantastic.
You saw it, Jeremy, right?
I did. I mean, I pretty much marathoned it, and I loved it.
So did you think of me when the pro wrestling thing came up?
Yes, it did remind me of you when she started talking about wrestling and then Overwatch. But, man, that show is just like – is just one of the best-looking shows in terms of how it's shot. Like, everything is just perfect.
It is.
You know?
It
like, is. The storytelling and the flow, I mean, like – and just like the camera work, I mean, everything is just so good. And I actually enjoyed the second one even more than I enjoyed the first one.
I will agree with that. What did you think about the Thanksgiving episode?
That was a really great episode.
It was good. So this was one of Aziz Ansari's best friends in the show is a gay black woman. And it actually, it's all about her and her family on every Thanksgiving and her coming out to her parents and finding herself. And they show it through different years. And it is just, it's so good. It's so good how that worked out. It's like very feel good and funny. Oh, damn.
Oh, damn it. So
Aziz, you did well, sir. I mean, you always done well. Like, Parks and Rec character, Tom Haverford, one of the best characters ever in television history. But, man, with Master of None, you really outdo yourself, sir. Go see it. All right. Any other TV shows we need to mention before we get into video games?
Well, Jeremy and I were gushing about our new favorite TV show before we started the show, when we were talking about the Great British Bake Off.
Okay, so I don't know what this British Bake Off is, but it sounds like people getting high.
Yeah, it's a British reality show where they get like 10 contestants or something like that, and it's judged by two renowned British chefs. We've got Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood, which I hadn't heard of previously, but apparently they're like, you know, big time cooking, you know, baking celebrities in the UK. So the show is basically just a matter of them giving challenges to these contestants, and the contestants have to bake different things, you know, whether it's a baguette or a cake or whatever. And it's just a reality show where people get kicked off, and at the end, you've got a winner, and it is outrageously entertaining.
And it's fun because none of the contestants are professional chefs. They're all people that are, even though they have an incredibly high skill level, they're all amateur. Nobody is a chef for a living.
Okay. Yeah. And it's just, and I don't bake. I don't give a shit about baking. But it's so interesting and so well executed that it's such an addictively fun show.
It's fun as hell.
And what network is it on?
It's on Netflix. I'm not sure. It's probably a BBC or something like that.
See, it's a BBC show.
But it's on Netflix, so totally worth checking out. And it's just it's a good show to watch when you don't want to have, like, something too heavy, because it's really light. It's really fun. So it's just good, something good to watch that's not going to, you know, be too distracting or, you know, put you in a mood of any kind.
So no zombies, no meth dealers, and no people riding dragons.
No, and no psycho presidents.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. British Bake Off, sir. I'll have to give it a shot. But let's move on to video games. First off, there's one video game that Mr. Atterbury loves to mention on here, and there's news about it. Which video game is that, Mr. Atterbury?
Castlevania.
Now you talk about British Bake Off, I'm going to have a British accent. So Castlevania. So tell us about this Castlevania thing.
About the show?
Yeah, so video game finally becoming a show after all these years.
Yeah, well, so for those of you who don't know, Castlevania is a video game series that was originally started on the original Nintendo NES system. And basically it follows the story of a family of vampire hunters called the Belmonts. And essentially they hunt Dracula. And so throughout the different games, we've had a few different main characters, but it's always people trying to hunt down and destroy Dracula. So apparently Netflix has a animated series about Castlevania coming out in the near future, and it's going to be a hard R from what I've heard also.
Interesting. So you're excited about this. What's the trailer like? What's going on with it?
Well, the trailer is really cool. It actually starts off with an NES, and you see them putting the cartridge for the game into the Nintendo, and it kind of looks like an old TV screen, and it comes to life, and then it slips into the actual trailer for the show. But it's definitely an anime style of animation, and it looks really good, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, Jeremy watched it, but I haven't seen it yet. He said the Voltron series that Netflix did was excellent.
Yes.
Yep.
So what I'm hearing about this Castlevania series, yes, it will be on Netflix. It is animated. There's a four-part season due to release later this year, with a second season for next year. And this first season is reportedly taking its storyline from Castlevania III, Dracula's Curse. So, the creator, Adi Shankar, has promised not to tone down the violence for this TV series.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be very, very much an adult show. And I can't wait for it. I hope it's great. Because I just love that whole world.
Should be pretty cool. The way they did Voltron was with the two seasons. I mean, it was once a year, but it was like they did like one in January and then another one like 6 months later. So you may not have to wait a full entire year for the second season.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, I'm all cool with that. I mean, shit. With Arrested Development, we've waited like 5 years now.
Have either of you guys played Castlevania Symphony of the Night?
Have not.
No.
It's, in my opinion, the absolute best platformer of all time. So I think you can get the 360 version. You can download it on Xbox One right now, and it's pretty cheap. I think it's like, you know, $5 or something like that. But it's got some light RPG elements, but mainly it's just a extremely well-balanced and responsive platformer, and it's absolutely worth checking out. It's got a cool soundtrack, and it's so much one of it's probably, in my opinion, one of the best PlayStation games that ever came out, and you can still play it now. So definitely check it out if you're looking for something that'll take you 5 or so hours to beat and then forever to really unlock all of its secrets.
All right, so Castlevania. So what else is coming out? Well, there's some other video games coming out that we want to know about. This summertime is always kind of lull, I would imagine, for video games, right?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd say that, but there hasn't been anything terribly exciting coming out this year, except for, as you mentioned before we started the show, we've got the Middle Earth Shadow of War coming out, right?
So is this – this probably be the sequel to Shadow of Mordor, right, from the Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Which was an awesome game.
But this looks great because it doesn't just take place in Mordor. It takes place over all of Middle Earth. So, and you're kind of – it seems to add another element of taking over castles and keeps and stuff like that and kind of collecting different parts of the land. So it seems like it's got a lot more interesting variation. So you're not just looking at the same landscape the whole time.
So I'm curious, as we're talking about Lord of the Rings real quick here, when I posted something on Facebook earlier, a lot of people have come out and said that Lord of the Rings is terrible and that there is a good 90 minute film in their span of 11 hours of movie. I disagree with that because I love Lord of the Rings. Do y'all feel the same way or do y'all hate it?
Oh, I love the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And even the director's editions, which are so much longer.
Yes.
I love those movies. I love pretty much every single thing about them.
Okay, good. Me too.
I just absolutely fucking hate the Hobbit trilogy.
It shouldn't have been three movies for sure.
Even if it had been one, it still would have been a piece of shit. It was all so bad. There was nothing good about those movies. Nothing.
I disagree with that. There were good things about it. Jeremy, what do you think?
I love me some Lord of the Rings.
Okay, good. I'm not alone here. But
you know, people are always going to find shit to complain about that want to fucking complain. So, and you know, the time length joke is the kind of cheap and easy way to make fun of Lord of the Rings to people that like it, you know.
Yeah.
There are plenty of fucking Lord of the Rings jokes you can make. Just ask Josie. I've been making them for ever at this point, you know. But the length joke is the, you know.
Yeah.
That's the generic, I don't really know enough about this movie to make fun of it, so I'm just going to make fun of the length.
Right.
I mean, anyone who's read the books knows that you pretty much had to make a long movie a long trilogy to even come close to capturing what the story. Because even the movies that did come out, even the 3-hour version of whatever, it's still only a fraction of the story being told. And frankly, we'd be so lucky if all novel to film adaptations were like made that in a really long way.
Yeah, we're like that. So yeah, no, I just wanted to make sure because a lot of people were coming out saying that they hated it and it was terrible. So I was
those
like,
people are fucking wrong.
Wrong, yep. Sir, is wrong. good. So we have coming out. So are y'all big Marvel Capcom game gamers? Do y'all like that series, the Marvel vs. Capcom?
I love that series.
So we're getting a new one, right, in September. It's called, was it Infinite or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
So what do you want to see? What's the one character you want to play as?
Oh, that's a hard thing. I mean, they're all so fun. I never really had one character that I just stuck with. But it's always, you know, kind of a staple in that series has always been Wolverine, and he's always a ton of fun to play as in that game. But you've got, you know, Hulk and Iron Man, all those different guys. But I will say that the last entry in the series really infuriated me because what they did was they released a version of the game and they didn't do any DLC. But what they did do is then just like 6 months later, they released an ultimate edition of the game with a bunch of new characters on that. And so instead of offering DLC, they literally made you buy an entirely new game to access a few new characters.
Okay.
And that was just the cheapest, shittiest thing you could possibly do. Just a huge slap in the face to all the fans because there wasn't anything else different. I mean, it was literally just making you buy an entirely new game to get a few new characters. It was outrageous.
All right. Jeremy, are you excited about it?
Not really. I'm not super into fighting games.
He doesn't like – what are you talking about? You play Destiny all the time.
That's not a fighting game.
Oh.
It's a first-person shooter, man.
You're fighting people, though.
Well, that would be every video game ever, pretty much, if you looked at it like that.
I guess so.
But one thing we haven't talked about yet is Injustice 2, which came out a couple weeks ago.
So what is Injustice 2?
Didn't you play Injustice 1?
Not that I remember.
Okay, well, Injustice 1 is just Mortal Kombat with DC characters.
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I
clearly, did. It made a great impression.
So the sequel just came out, and the sequel is supposed to be a big improvement over the first one.
Okay, all right. It's been a while since that game came out. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's been a little – now, you may also be confusing it with another game that came out, which was Mortal Kombat versus DC characters.
Oh, maybe that's the one I'm thinking of then.
Yeah, because that okay. was kind of the first one they did. And I think that was a really long time ago. But that was just, you know, you could be Scorpion or, you know, Raiden or whoever, and you could fight the DC characters.
Yeah, Batman.
Then
okay,
after
that's
that,
the one. Okay.
Then after that, they made one called Injustice, which was exclusively the DC characters.
Okay. So this one's supposed to be a big improvement.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a huge improvement. A lot more depth to the game. And it's supposed to be a damn good fighting game.
All right. I'm curious.
I want to play it, but I never have anybody to play with because nobody else I know likes fighting games. So
I like fighting games because they're quick and easy. I like it.
Yeah. Well, they're not easy, but they're definitely quick. They're quick and dirty.
Quick and dirty. let's talk about Destiny 2. When is this the game we're all waiting on for the foreseeable future, or is it Red Dead 2?
Well, Destiny's coming out a hell of a lot sooner, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Because I think Red Dead's been pushed back quite a bit. But when that's this year for Destiny 2, right?
Oh, yeah.
So does that mean that us three are going to skip a week of podcasts so we can just play for 24/7, 7 days a week?
I think we should take a break so we can all just gush about how much we're enjoying the game.
In all Destiny 2 podcasts.
Or we could podcast while we play it.
There we go.
We could do that on Twitch, right? Like Twitch TV or something like that?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We could do something like that. I think we could do that because all of that's socially available now through gaming. But yeah, Destiny 2, I'm looking forward to that because I really like the first one. And I think anything Bungie makes, I love. So very, very excited for it. And I have to mention to our listeners out there, more than maybe 10 episodes, and maybe more than 20 episodes, Jeremy and John have tried to get me to play Star Wars Battlefront. I know they can't see it at home, but Jeremy,
well, you're showing the camera anyways.
Yes, Jeremy was gracious enough to finally give me a copy of the deluxe edition so that we can all play. It will be downloaded, and then I can give my review finally of Star Wars Battlefront. And we can all play. I'm very excited because it's so funny to hear you guys talk about how much y'all play it, and then like it's not a great game.
It's the best Star Wars console game of the last 2 years.
Okay. Okay. All right.
That is absolutely 100% true.
Okay. So I can't wait. I'm going to download it. I'm going to download all the content I've missed out on so we can all play. And maybe I wonder if we can like stream our conversations on Battlefront. This would be awesome.
I'm up for it if you can figure out how to make the internet shit work.
Okay, I will. I think I'm tech savvy enough, or at least I hope I am, to do that. So, but yeah, that's our episode this week. We have had a few laughs and some Wonder Woman talk and some The Rock talk. Also, I would like to see Batman vs Superman remake with The Rock and Kevin Hart. Boom.
Yeah, I'd like that too. It'd probably be a way better movie.
Who would play each other? Which one would play who?
The Rock obviously has to be Superman.
And The Rock obviously is a tiny, crazy Batman.
you mean Kevin Hart?
Well, who did I say?
You said The Rock.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. The Rock
person
could be both people. That'd be fun, too.
No, The Rock and Kevin Hart. I would just like to see the Martha scene when they finally get that their mothers are named Martha. Ugh. I still just don't like thinking about that story plot.
I don't know if I like the idea of a tiny Batman or a tiny Superman. I don't know which one of those I find funnier.
Well, I guess with Superman, he's actually in tights, so which one would look better in like the tights like that? Because I would say like Batman's more covered up in like an armor more than just like the tights.
Yeah, I mean, are you asking who would look better or who would look funnier?
I guess both.
Kevin Hart would look funnier, but I think The Rock would look better.
Oh, to see them go at it. And who would do the better dark, gloomy Batman? I can't see Kevin Hart do it, but I can't see The Rock doing it either.
Can you just imagine the Rock taking off the bat helmet and then just like, you know, eyebrow?
Oh my goodness, so good. Jeremy, are you in for this remake?
Yeah.
It would be better than what we got, for sure.
It could be.
For sure. We need to see this. All right, well, that's Mediocrity. We're on iTunes under the Multimedia Men banner. Please subscribe to us. We'll be back next week. Any lasting thoughts for you guys?
Don't see Baywatch. It sucks so bad.
Jeremy, any lasting thoughts from you?
Go see Wonder Woman.
Fantastic. Good stuff there. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, guys.